Josh, thanks for the time today. You've had obviously a few days since things wrapped up in Edmonton. Just how have you looked back on the series, and what are your thoughts on what happened over that, I guess, what turned out to be unfortunately a short week for your team?
Hey, Munzee. yeah, I mean, I think obviously, you know, hasn't been too much time since we played, but, you know, it was definitely disappointing. I mean, I thought we battled hard. I thought we competed hard as a team, and obviously, you know, losing a couple of our, you know, top players really, you know, that's tough. It's really hard to, you know, lose, you know, your best guys, some of your best guys. So I thought that, you know, we still battled hard after that, in a short series like that, you know, got behind it, obviously battled hard to tie it up, and then got behind it again. I actually thought we played a heck of a game in game four, but, you know, just, you know, puck wasn't going our way a little bit. And obviously that's hockey. So it's disappointing. I mean, it's disappointing. You do all the work over the spring months, and obviously all the, you know, effort that goes into trying to make it, you know, happen to get us there, you know, training camp and everything else. And, you know, to only sort of play five games, it's disappointing, and to not have a chance to win the cup is disappointing. But you know, it is what it is. And I think, you know, another opportunity to learn from that and, you know, try to take some extra motivation into this, you know, I guess off season again and prepare for next year.
And on that note, when you take a look at kind of the year that was from training camp to where it finished off last week, how do you kind of summarize everything this hockey club went through?
I mean, be hard to summarize it, to be honest with you. You know, it was just a lot of adversity, you know, from the start of training camp, you know, losing our, you know, potentially our best player, our, you know, certainly, you know, best defenseman, veteran, in Buff. You know, that was tough. Obviously even maybe prior to that, you know, just the changeover, you know, on the back end and throughout our lineup, sort of losing guys that, have been consistent pieces in the lineup for a while. And then obviously, you know, Brian's injury, you know, and there's so many things in there. We had a bunch of injuries, obviously, a pandemic in there, you know, let's throw that in there too. I mean, it was just one of those things that, it seemed like we kept having, you know, very unique adversities against, you know, our group this year. But in saying that, I mean, I don't think anyone, you know, ever, felt sorry for themselves or, you know, tried to, you know, oh, well, we lost Buff, we lost, you know, Litzy, we have injuries, whatever. I think everybody really just tried to, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? You know, when the next team we're playing, whoever we're playing isn't going to care, you know, if we have, you know, a full lineup or not or anything like that. So I thought that was something that I'm really proud of our team, you know, even in this, you know, playing series, I think as well, you know, with the injuries we had, you know, still competing hard, still trying to do everything we could to win. And so, I mean, for me personally, I think I learned a lot, you know, throughout this season. I think all of our team, you know, it was a season like no other. And I'm sure we all hope that we don't have any seasons like that in the future. But, you know, I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned there. And, you know, I think a real opportunity to mature as a team and grow going forward.
Ready? We'll go with Ken Weave from Sportsnet.ca. Go ahead, Ken.
Thanks for taking some time, Josh. Just sticking with that learning theme, I mean, you're so reflective about that process. I'm just curious what the next couple months will be like, and what will you focus on after all the training that you did and all the mental stuff that you dealt with in terms of leadership and taking on a bigger role?
Hey, Ken. Yeah, I mean, I think much of the same. You know, I obviously, as I spoke about before, multiple times, I mean, you know, I think that I've really tried to continue to grow my game, and that's really been my focus all throughout my career. But, you know, especially I think sort of at a going into a new stage in my career last season, and, you know, sort of, you know, getting out of the young player sort of position into being a leader, a veteran guy on the team, and all those other things that we talked about before. So, you know, I think a lot of the same things, you know, even just in the last few days, like thinking about, okay, what, you know, what's the next few months look like. And, I mean, obviously normally after a season, you play 82 games. If you get into the playoffs, you know, that's going to be more games. So even though it was a really hard series against Calgary, it was, you know, four games. So yeah, there's some, you know, for me personally, a few little bumps, bruises, whatever, but, you know, the sort of general, I guess, worn down feeling of, you know, going through the grind of a season isn't really there, obviously. So, you know, I want to get back to training again soon here and continue to try to make steps. I feel like I noticed a difference in the games, in my strength level, my fitness level compared to last season. And, you know, certainly the mental side of the game, the mental side of, you know, just being a person, I think as well, you know, obviously continuing to work on that all the time, but definitely the, you know, get back into the gym, get back to training and try to, you know, use the unique opportunity. I mean, when you really think about it, a normal off season, let's say 4 months, you know, obviously you're not training necessarily that entire time, but after those 4 months, you have a potentially 8-9, you know, month season where, yeah, you're training during the year, but it's not the same. So to sort of have a 4 month window, I guess, broken up by 1 month of training camp and, I mean, basically a week of hockey games and then another, you know, window of training for a number of months and working on your game on the ice, it's a pretty rare circumstance, so I'm going to try to make the most of it.
For sure. You brought up Brian Little. I mean, we spoke with him earlier this morning. What's it been like for you as a player and a guy who's gotten to know him so well to see him deal with everything that he's dealt with throughout the course of this year?
Well, it's just devastating. you know, Brian is just a phenomenal person, first and foremost. I mean, he's, you know, had an amazing career all the way along. He played at such a young age. He's been great from the time he started in the NHL, which is, again, very rare. But, you know, when I think of Litzy and my relationship with him, he's just an amazing person, you know. His work ethic, the type of guy he is, I mean, you know, he's just, I feel like, you know, you really couldn't find a better guy. And so to see him have that injury and struggle with it this year, it's you know, obviously you'd feel bad no matter who it was, but it feels that much worse because it is Litzy, and, you know, obviously he's such a big part of our team on the ice, of course, but off the ice, I mean, just having him around and being in the room is, you know, it just feels that's how it should be, you know, he should be there. So it's been really tough. You know, I also think that, obviously, it was a huge, huge loss for us on the ice. I felt like he was playing great, great hockey. And you know, it's scary to see. So, you know, it's been tough. It's also been tough, you know, I guess to sort of answer your question, you know, how has it been to see it? I mean, it's been almost maybe worse, I think, because you haven't been able to see him, you know. I mean, obviously, injured players are around, but, you know, with the exception of a few weeks there, I guess in the new year where, you know, he was, you know, definitely more around the team and getting on the ice a little bit and stuff, you know, you just really haven't been able to interact with him much. I mean, I feel like I haven't really been able to interact with him much since he was hurt, you know, just the way the scheduling works for injured players and, you know, during the season. And then obviously going into the pandemic, I mean, everyone was their separate ways. So, you know, that part of it really sucks as well. And, you know, I just, you know, want the best for his Brian's family, his health, you know, in the long term going forward. And, you know, obviously I think that's what we're all hoping for, and, you know, hope that he can get some great news and eventually come back and play. But first and foremost, have his health, you know, now and for the rest of his life for his family.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go with Jason Bell from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Josh, good to see you. And keeping with this sort of, unfortunately, kind of a maudlin sort of tone here, you know, I was thinking about Mark going down, and you mentioned Scheifele going down. And, you know, now that it's over and, you know, you can maybe speak a little more freely about that. I mean, there's always this next guy mentality, and, you know, one guy can't rely on just one guy, and everybody has to do a little more. But when he goes down and you see him writhing in pain, and you realize that a guy who is such a driver on in all facets of the game, you don't have him now. And how crushing is that for the rest of the team? And because a lot of people around this town would say that in some respects, maybe that series was over 6 minutes into game one. I don't know. You wouldn't say that as an athlete, but what's the feeling now?
I mean, a couple things obviously there. You know, in my opinion, the next man up mentality, I mean, it's definitely one that you have to have when you're in a series or in a game or in a season, right? I mean, you know, as we've talked about before, like you can't just obviously, you know, a star player goes down. Okay, well, the season's done. Obviously, you still have to play, and the other team doesn't care, you know, about that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, once it's over and obviously looking back, I mean, it's pretty easy to see, you know, it was a massive loss for our team, you know, especially the way it happened. Sitting there on the bench, you know, we all get into game, you know, mentality, game mode, and the intensity of the game. But, you know, when you see a player in that kind of pain, and for me, you know, one of my best friends, it's tough to watch. It's tough to see. It's scary, you know, and especially the type of guy Mark is. I mean, everyone on our team, you know, I think becoming more and more around the league as well, know how much he loves the game. You know, I mean, there's not a player, I don't think, in the game that loves being on the ice, loves working on his game, you know, just loves everything about playing hockey more than Mark. And so, you know, to see that kind of injury, it's scary, you know. And of course, you don't know what it is in the moment or, you know, what that means for him going forward. So, you know, I think looking back at that game, you know, there was definitely a lull after that. And I think that really shook our team up a little bit too for the rest of that night. And, you know, so it's tough losing guys. It's tough losing top end players, obviously then losing Patty as well and Appy, you know, big losses for us. But I mean, I guess what are you going to do in the moment? But looking back, it definitely, I mean, you can't replace those contributions. You can have guys come and step in and try and do what they can and try and win, but you can't replace those guys.
Right. Thanks. And, you know, Josh, you talked about the strides you made this year and also, you know, as you go into the first year of this new deal and you going into a fifth year, your fifth full season, I guess, as a Jet. I mean, what are the things that you want to try and up your game at? And I'll just leave you with that. And also just, I want to say, appreciate all your time you give us, Josh, your candor and your accessibility. We really appreciate that.
Oh, thanks, Jason. Likewise. Well, I think, it's a pretty complex question, obviously. I mean, you know, of course you kind of want to improve on everything in your game. I think that, maybe the more, you know, the larger themes would be, you know, continue to improve my strength level, the ability to, you know, play, a lot of minutes and handle those minutes. You know, I think obviously, offensively, I think there's still room to grow, you know, a lot of room to grow. I also feel like, you know, I have, you know, I want to prove, you know, prove myself and prove, you know, what I can do in the league and show what I can do in the league and try to become the best player I can be. I mean, in my opinion, at the end of the day, end of your career, like, all you can really do is try to become the best player you can be and try to win a cup or as many cups as you can. You know, that's really how you're judged, and obviously the type of teammate and person you are. But those are the things that I really want to prove and prove to myself more than anything else. You know, see how good I can get, see where I can improve. And again, I think it starts with some of those strength things and just being able to do things more consistently. I mean, you know, maybe you can make a play, I don't know, 6-7 out of 10 times, you know, can you make it 8-9 out of 10 times? And you know, again, that's really what I'm trying to focus on and work on, and try and see how, you know, try and be the best player I can be. That's really it.
Thanks for that.
I'll go with Carter Brooks. Go ahead, Carter.
Hey, Josh. Earlier today, your teammate Brian Little said that Jets fans don't really have a lot to worry about personnel-wise. But with, I guess, almost 8 or 9, maybe more, regulars having expiring contracts this offseason, do you think that maybe significant changes very well could be forthcoming?
Hey, Carter. You know, obviously, those type of decisions aren't really, you know, something that as a player you have a hand in. I feel like, you know, obviously we have a bunch of contracts and whatnot, which is, you know, isn't really new for our team and most teams around the league. I mean, I don't know exactly the situation of all the teams, but I think with the way the NHL is, you know, teams are always going to be in situations like that. So, and again, I don't know the numbers. We might be on the high end or whatever, but I would guess they were probably not the only team in a situation like that. So I agree with Brian. I feel like, you know, we have players that are in the prime of their career. I think our younger players are starting to get into their, you know, the prime of their career. And I think, you know, looking at this past season, I mean, I think there were a lot of, you know, younger talented players who, you know, have been very elite players on our team, but, you know, haven't sort of been the driver on the line, you know, the player who carries the line or even starts to carry a younger new player. So, you know, I think this past season you saw a lot of individual players not just step up with, you know, offensive statistics or, you know, good games, but and good games or statistics, you know, alongside top end guys that have been in the league for a long time. But I think you started to see a lot of our younger guys sort of start to be able to handle a line on their own or, you know, a pairing on their own or whatever it is. So, you know, I think we're sort of in a bit of a transition, obviously coming out of a few years ago with all the changeover and sort of the youth now becoming, you know, more of the I guess, middle-aged players, if you will. And then I think looking at, you know, Blake Wheeler in the prime of his career, in my opinion, I mean, pretty confident in our goalie's abilities, that's for sure. And so there's always going to be changes. Again, I'm really excited about the future of our team. And I think, you know, we learned so much this past season that it's only going to help us going forward.
Thanks, Josh. Just sticking with the same idea here, is the only blue liner really locked in past next season. Do you have any idea as to what kind of players you would personally be wanting to play alongside in the back end, or if there are certain areas that you think might be lacking, as the past year has kind of been one in which people have said, oh, you know what, the blue line's kind of one of the soft spots right now for Winnipeg. How can that be changed?
I mean, I think that, you know, early on in the last season, there were a lot of changes, a lot of new faces, and, you know, definitely, in my opinion, we got better and better as the season went on. You know, I think that obviously there's going to be some changes, of course, that always happens. But, you know, I think that the blue line that we had last season, the guys that were there, you know, we battled hard, and you know, I think there, you know, if we had that exact same blue line next season, you know, I'd be really confident in our ability to, you know, go out and win games. You know, I think that we grew tremendously last year on our back end, and I think we have some great young defensemen coming up in the system. You know, so to answer your question, I guess there's a lot of those things aren't really up to me and any player. You know, those are going to be ironed out through obviously the management and whatnot. If we had the exact same group, and in many ways I'd love the exact same group, because every one of those guys battles extremely hard and works extremely hard. And it was one of the best group of sort of defense, you know, group that I've ever been a part of. I'd be, you know, more than confident going into games next season. So we'll see what happens. You know, as I guess each one of us, you know, if we want to improve the back end, I think we can all work on our games and try to get better and continue to work together to get better and sort of handle what we can individually as individuals to improve. I think that's all you can really do as a player.
All right, we'll go with Paul Friesen from the Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Josh. How important do you think it is to get more size and grit, and maybe on the blue line, maybe a bit up front? I'm thinking blue line specifically, and specifically for playoff hockey.
I mean, I guess maybe I would just ask you, like, you know, do you feel like we need more size and grit? I guess, Paul, just out of curiosity. I mean,
at times it looks that way. And watching, you know, our other teams succeed in playoff hockey, especially, it's a theory out there, and at times you think so, yeah.
Okay, I mean, yeah, I mean, I felt like, in my opinion, we had, obviously, we played a tough physical team. You know, looking around the league, you know, they're probably one of the most physical and tough teams left playing. You know, I guess I would say that looking at our players who answered the bell in some fights, you know, physically, I guess that's always up for interpretation, and there's always going to be trends around the league. I mean, it seems like whoever wins the cup, obviously, or has success for a few years, there might be a trend of following that team. And if that team was, you know, a big physical team, that might be the trend. And if they were, you know, smaller and extremely fast, that might be the trend. I think that looking over our last few seasons, you know, we've had success. Obviously we've had some very physically, you know, some players with some very, you know, coveted physical abilities, looking back at Buff's physicality and, you know, Benny Sherratt was a big physical guy. We've had those type of players, but, you know, I don't necessarily think that the physicality portion of our game was the reason why we had success. You know, I think that even this year, like, you know, Nate Beaulieu throws some pretty big checks, and, you know, we've had some pretty physical players in our lineup. But I think what when we've had success is built around speed and being an extremely fast team and playing a fast game and obviously being physical and competing hard within that, whether you're a small guy or a big guy. You know, sure, if it's a bigger player making the hit, it's probably a bigger hit than a small guy, but the small guy can still, you know, get in there, separate the player from the puck and sort of achieve similar results. So, you know, I think even when we've had our most success, I guess to answer your question, in my opinion, it was, you know, based around a very competitive and fast game. And we had the luxury of maybe having a few players that could, you know, really throw the body, but I don't think throwing the body was the reason we had success, if that sort of makes sense in my opinion. So, yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, and just if we could get your thoughts on Matthew Tkachuk's hit on Mark as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was a play where I feel, again, it's the first 10 minutes of the series. You know, it's our second game back. You know, I honestly feel as though until probably game four, you know, I think game four was probably the best hockey that was played, and solely because there was, you know, we all had some games under our belt at that point. You know, it wasn't, you know, the first couple games of the year. I mean, it's hard to imagine, I guess, the second exhibition game of, you know, a usual exhibition game season with a playoff intensity and whatnot. And the reason I bring that up is I just feel as though, you know, everyone was trying to bring that intensity, but the, you know, it's sort of game two. You don't feel into the flow of things, you know, your normal rhythm of how you're playing. And so I think you saw a lot of things in the first few games where, you know, a lot of sort of weird plays, a lot of plays where guys weren't, you know, fully under control. I mean, I think he was coming in, you know, obviously to try to play a physical game on our top players. And, you know, he saw a chance to try to be physical on Mark, and Mark kind of turned up on him. I think he made a good play to sort of evade the contact, and he got him with the skate. You know, I don't think he sat there before the game and said, I'm going to go, you know, try and hit, you know, stomp on his leg or anything like that. But I think tried to make a hit. And if you watch the play, he was coming in very hot, you know, aggressively and fast. And I think in a split second, you know, Mark kind of got out of the way, and he was trying to get a piece of him. And that was, I guess, what got him. You know, it's impossible to ever say, you know, I don't think anyone in the league would try to intentionally injure someone with the skate. That doesn't happen in the moment, you know? So I just think it's sort of a function of a lot of things, but, you know, again, in those first few games back, you know, the Vancouver game, first couple against Calgary, I just think you saw a lot of weird things from guys sort of playing in a playoff intensity without, you know, being in a rhythm. And there were a lot of sort of weird movements by players, and I'm actually surprised there were, you know, weren't more collisions or injuries, just because, you know, of that sort of high level intensity with, you know, a low sort of not the usual rhythm that you would see in a playoff game. So that's my thoughts.
Alrighty, and we'll go with Murat Tesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Josh, like others have said, thanks for taking the time. One thing I've always wondered is what kind of pressure or impact the letter on the jersey has over the course of the season. You know, at the beginning, it's excitement, and I think most of the work happens without media around to watch it. So after a year of it, I'm wondering if you can reflect on how that affected your year for better or for more challenging.
Hey, Murat. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge honor, first of all. Obviously, you know, I think that it's something that I take with a lot of pride. It means a lot to me, you know. And I think that looking back at last season, you know, I love wearing the letter. You know, to me, every time I put the jersey on, it's just it, you know, I feel like there's more accountability there. You know, you want to bring your best game. You want to, you know, work as hard as you can. You want to try to be, a leader. And I feel like there's a level of accountability there with the letter on your jersey. Because in my opinion, you know, you can't ask someone to follow you or, you can't ask someone to do something different or encourage someone to do something, whatever, unless you're sort of doing it yourself. You're the, you know, working extremely hard. You can't ask someone else to work hard if you're not working hard, you know? So I feel like there's a level of self accountability in wearing the letter. I also think I learned a lot this season, you know, not being tentative early on, but, you know, all of a sudden you know, again, because I take the letter with such a sense of pride, and it means a lot. You know, I think early on it was something that you know, I've tried to learn from Mark, from Blake, and I think towards the end of the year, and certainly into these qualifiers, I guess it just felt pretty natural to me, and something that you know, I again, I'll always take with a lot of pride, and there's a, you know, a level of accountability there. And, you know, I think I'll continue to learn as a leader. I feel like, you know, you never kind of just figure it out, you know, it's not like a math equation. I feel like there's a constant level of sort of trial and error of learning with it. But, you know, it's something that I, again, really take a lot of pride in for sure.
Thank you for that. And given the year that was, we asked about the adversity questions, but there were some highlights. There's the Heritage Classic and other sorts of things. I'm wondering, there was the beard. I'm wondering if you can reflect on some of the most fun elements, if you're able to feel that from here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, I mean, we just spent, I don't know how long I've been on here, probably. I know I can give some long-winded answers, but I mean, obviously a lot about, you know, not necessarily the most positive aspects of the season, but, looking back, you know, again, I had an absolute blast with our teammates. I feel like we had, sort of been counted off a lot of times, and we just sort of took that and sort of rolled with it. You know, looking back, the Heritage game was an absolute, you know, I feel so lucky that within my first, you know, 4.5 years, I've been able to play in two of them. And that was pretty special, you know, especially doing it at night and in Saskatchewan, where, you know, I have some family ties and stuff like that and whatnot. So that was pretty cool. You know, and just so many other, you know, other memories. I mean, I think I was able to watch some of Brian's interview, and, you know, he talks about sort of, you know, not taking anything for granted. You know, the career goes by pretty fast, and obviously, you know, injuries can happen or anything like that. And you know, as much as you get caught up in the moment of the season and, you know, wins, losses, of course, and that's the nature of our job, I think, you know, you have to really enjoy each day and have fun with it. And I think, you know, for a little while there, I just had, you know, was kind of felt like I was carrying a lot of pressure that I put on myself. And once I started to have fun with it and sort of just play hockey and enjoy it, enjoy being with the guys, enjoy competing, you know, it's weird to say, but enjoy the, you know, enjoy the failures, enjoy the successes, like, you know, all of that is what makes the game fun, and doing it with your teammates and for the fans and everything else. I mean, it's just the whole thing to me is what's fun. So a lot of good memories, obviously. I feel like amidst a very crazy year, you know, some fun memories, I guess, with the beard, obviously, as you said, and Scott Billick, his dog, I don't know if he's on the call here, but his dog chirping in the background, so that was pretty funny. So and I think someone showed me a photo of his dog too, and I forget it, believe it's her name, so I apologize for that. But, you know, lots of good times, and you know, amidst a pretty wild year in a number of ways. So excited for next season, and excited to you know, try to continue to improve my game and our team game, and go to the next level in each categories.
Alrighty, and we'll close things off with Mike McIntyre from the Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Josh. Thanks so much for doing this. And let me say right off the hop, please don't ever change from the long-winded answers, as you call them. We, I know I speak for all my media colleagues. We absolutely love them. So no need to change there. And thanks so much for making yourself available as much as you do this year and always speaking candidly. We really appreciate it. Just wanted to ask, finish on a couple notes, just big picture Stanley Cup playoffs, which obviously are still underway here. There's a lot of talk in the hockey world about whether overtime formats should change given the marathon that went on last night between Carolina and Tampa. I just wonder, as a player, do you love the overtime playoff format? Is that something you think needs any kind of tinkering, or it should stay as it is?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that at the start there. No, honestly, like, I think that's sort of, it's what makes it the playoffs. It's what makes it fun. I was watching that yesterday, and like, I had a sense in the couch, like, you know, I would love to be in those guys' shoes. Like, that's, you know, that's what, I guess, probably something that when those teams look back on this playoffs, no matter how far they go, right? Like, that's a memory that'll always stick with you. Right. If you play enough playoff games in the league, you know, every win is great, but, you know, a win like that is that much more special. So, you know, even listening to, I think Braden Point had an interview just after the game, after he scored, and, you know, he's like, eventually, yeah, you're tired, but eventually it sort of just becomes fun. And I haven't had the experience of playing a playoff game that long, but, you know, you sort of get through that threshold of where you're feeling really tired and not the best, and all of a sudden it just becomes fun. Obviously the pace of the game kind of slows down and whatever, but, you know, I think those are the memories that, you know, players all really value at the end of their career. So I wouldn't like to see it changed. I also think it started the conversation going on right now about, should we go to a shootout format or some other format is there, but it's pretty small. I mean, if you did make the change to a shootout or something, I think the conversation would be a lot larger and it'd be, you know, a lot more complaining. So to me, it's been that way for so long. And as a player, I think, you know, we really enjoy it. And I mean, as a sort of spectator watching yesterday, it was intriguing to watch. I mean, you're almost kind of hoping that it keeps going longer to see if they can set a record or something like that. So I don't think it should be changed.
Boston, Carolina just started the first overtime. I hope you're not PBRing the game and I didn't spoil that for you, but maybe they'll take a run at it today. Just wanted to end then, Josh, you've seen all the teams in the playoffs up close, obviously. Do you have any thoughts as to who might be standing at the end of this all? Any favorites?
Well, I mean, it's so early yet. Obviously, like, technically we're just getting through game one of the first round. So, I mean, there's a lot of hockey to be played. I think some of the teams that we're playing in the play-in series might, you know, they've sort of been playing playoff hockey here for a little bit. So some of the teams coming out of the, the seeding games, obviously can't say for sure, but from watching those games, I don't think they had quite the same intensity that obviously the play-in series did. So, I would assume it might take a couple games for those teams to sort of get rolling. So, I think whoever can sort of be comfortable in the bubble, obviously the league did a great job and the Players Association, everyone involved did a great job of making it a comfortable setup. But, it is going to be a unique situation for the teams that are able to sort of embrace the bubble, embrace the time in the hotel and everything else, and sort of be able to stay focused in that, not get complacent in that situation. I think those are the teams that are going to be successful. So still really early yet, but, obviously we'll have a better idea as it goes on. And I think the hockey is just going to continue to get better as the games go on. And, I'll be watching for sure, wishing we were there, but, watching and trying to learn something nonetheless.
Thanks, Josh. Enjoy the off season.
Thanks, Mike. You too.